Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
They are now a game back of Philadelphia in the NL East after losing 2 out of 3 this weekend and will come back home licking their wounds to take on the Braves for 4 straight games. I don't think, though, BT, is it as bad as it seems right now with the Mets and their basically 9-game struggle.
Listen, they played really good ball to start, so I can see why some people would say that and think that. I don't see that right now. I see a baseball team where there's just too many issues that are popping up, and it's not one thing, which is why it's more concerning to me. I think you could take a losing streak one of two ways. Hey, it's baseball. It's going to happen. Even, you know, you win 100, 300, 405 games. Hell, even the 86 Mets didn't start out great. I think they were like 3-5, whatever it was, or 2-3. So I don't want to go nuts. It's June. But when the starting pitching, and I know that there's reasons for that, injuries, the relief pitching, the final, you know, I'd say the last 4 or 5 hitters, I don't think they've got enough length in that lineup. And I don't think they catch the ball incredibly well. There are just too many facets of the team now that I think will prevent them from winning the World Series, which is why I'm going out and I'm making a massive trade.
All right, well, forget about the World Series for a second. Do you think this team will be a playoff team?
I do.
Okay,
Even without a strong move.
Okay, me too. But
I don't think they win the division, though.
Oh, well, that was going to be my next question.
No, Phillies.
See, now that to me is that's what I want to see. I'm not looking at World Series yet. Obviously, you know, we agree, big picture stuff, this team is built to go win a World Series. So there's going to be no excuses. So you're going to find out a way to win a World Series. But as we know, those things are hard. You can't just go in every year saying that. The Mets aren't there yet. Yankees might be there. They've been there for a while. Mets are not there yet. Can they win the division? And so far, I'm fine with the way that they've played Philadelphia. Obviously, it wasn't a great weekend, but they already swept the Phillies when the Phillies were here. Yeah, the Phillies will get healthier, but the Mets had the Phillies in the postseason a year ago. That will be a battle I expect to be the rest of the season, Mets and Phillies jockeying for primacy in the NL East. As far as the Braves go, the Mets need to send the message to them. So what is a 9-game skid, losers of 8 of 9, can become a lot worse if they lose to or get embarrassed again, even with their current state being ravaged by injury. I don't want to hear it. Back home where they've been nearly unbeatable against a team where they are 10 games better than in the standings and has been the dominant team in that division for a while now, this is where we're going to find out what the Mets are made of. And I need to see them. I need to see them beat the Braves here at the very least at home. And I'm talking 3 out of 4. I'm not talking a split. I'm talking beat the Braves in a series and then go from there and try to get back on track and try to win the division.
So, okay. To me, it seems more emotional with the Braves. Nobody's worried, and I'm with you. Braves aren't catching the Mets, I don't believe. And I believe the Mets will be a playoff team. So if the reaction going into the anticipation and the feeling going into this series is more about the Braves, and I want to make sure I'm hearing you right, more about the Mets-Braves energy and the Mets-Braves history and less about the season, I would say, for me, that's not the approach that I would take. To me, the series that would have been more important is the one that you guys just lost 2 out of 3 in.
But they've already beaten the Phillies so far. So when I agree with that, like the Phillies are more important because that's the top team right now in the division. But the Mets already swept them. They beat them in the postseason a year ago. I have no worries about the Phillies. I think they're them and the Mets are the two best teams in the division. I think that it's going to be a two-team race. But before we get there, the Mets, they had a chance when they faced Atlanta, last week to just bury the Braves once and for all. They have yet to do that. They didn't do it a year ago, and they've yet to do it this year. They still can. If they take 3 out of 4, now the Braves go to 12 games back, and the Braves will have had a 7-game run at the Mets to try to get back into it, and they will have not gained any ground in that regard.
Yeah, that's huge. A game there. But, and by the way, not only that, I mean, the Mets, lost a couple of games this weekend, sort of the Braves against the Marlins. So the Braves, there's only so many ways and so much real estate to say, well, we'll figure it out. We'll get it going. When you're that many games behind, you're playing a bad team like Miami. Mets lose 2 out of 3. You got to get a broom, let alone you got to at least win the series.
From a Braves perspective, you're coming off sweeping the Mets. The least you could do is beat the crappy Marlins, who are in dead last place in the National League East. Beat them 2 out of 3. And even that might not have been good enough. Maybe they have to sweep, but still, you'd want to win 2 out of 3. So the Braves, to me, aren't as good as everybody makes. They aren't as good as they look when they play the Mets. And now the Mets have a chance to bury them again. They gave one away. They embarrassed themselves in Atlanta. Can't happen this time. Because now if they did lose 3 out of 4, now all of a sudden the Braves are back. And now they only be 8 games behind the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're entering a whole new conversation where it's going to be the Mets, Braves, and Phillies. And then you start to wonder even more about the Mets because they have not built up the resume to where they should be trusted. Do I think that they're better than the Braves? Yeah. Do I think that they're going to end up better than? Yes, I do. But they have not been. You can't trust them yet because they don't have that resume behind them. And the 8 of 9 skid and just go beat Atlanta. Then we could start to get back to, okay, well, now this team needs to fine tune or maybe make a big move. You say they need to make a big trade, whatever. We could get into that. But to me, before they do that, they got to stop this losing streak. And even more importantly, finish off this stretch of 10 intra-division games strong by beating the one team they have not been able to handle for years.
And listen, that's the micro aspect. Deal with tonight, handle the Braves. To me, I'm just electing to go a little bit more bigger picture, a little bit more macro here. I think the Braves lineup in totality is better than the Mets. I think the Phillies lineup, especially when you get, what's his name back? Bryce Harper. I think that their lineup is better than the Mets. And I really, truly believe, even though they've been very good this year, and I don't believe they're as bad as they've looked the last couple of starts. Like, this one turn through the rotation for the Mets has been morbid. I think the ERA is 7 of the starters, and I know that they're better than that. But I still think the top of the Mets rotation versus the top of the Braves rotation and the Phillies rotation is inferior. So I think that the Mets lineup is weaker than Philly and Atlanta. I think their rotation is weaker than Philly and Atlanta, which means I've got to be bold and I got to fix it now.
We've also mentioned the Yankees, whether it was Volpe getting the scheduled day off after having a 3-hit day makes no sense to me. My only other issue with them, forget about the wins and losses against the Orioles. You can't go nuts with that. The only other issue for me is that Boone just does not stick with a consistent lineup. I'm not talking about the whole lineup. I'm talking about 2, 3, 4. It should be Bellinger, Judge, Stanton, end of story. Build everything off of that. I don't know why they're so inconsistent with that. It drives me nuts. Well, I do know why. The analytics and data and matchups and all that stuff drives me nuts. But those would be my nitpicky things from the Yankees. I'm not going to get on them for the Clark Schmidt stuff. We discussed that. We could do it again. But my issue would be Volpe scheduled day off. You shouldn't stick to that when he finally got hot. And then the 2, 3, 4 in that lineup.
We're on the same page with both of those things. So I don't need to regurgitate what we said earlier. I'm with you on that. The thing that, even though they won, it's masked, but I'm on the air at the Javits Center yesterday. I'm doing the show. So it's like I'm, watching pitch by pitch, getting updates, whatever. I'm like, all right, second and third, nobody out. Here we go. No run.
Same thing.
3 unproductive outs. So, yeah, they won the game. They won the series. If that's a better team and it's not the Orioles, who are pretty wretched this year, you might not win the game, which means you wouldn't have won the series, which means you would have lost your fourth series in a row. So, again, happy with the win. I thought Jazz looked pretty good. Eventually, Judge has to get rocking again. Goldschmidt's been good. But don't let that stuff fool you. As much as I'm sitting here saying the Mets got to make a trade, the Yankees absolutely need to make a trade, too.
And to further that conversation, I just saw John Heyman, our buddy John Heyman, on social media post something that the Yankees are, I think he said their biggest need was bullpen. And that's where they're going to be going.
Yeah, and so, that's one thing that Cashman does great.
Yeah.
He's very good at that.
I know, but they might need, in fact, a bat.
I think they do need a bat, 100%. Well, just because John Heyman says it.
Yeah.
Well, I believe that that's rooted in reporting, so, and we also know that they need a bullpen arm. Cousins got hurt again, so there's things that have happened in the last week or so that changed those dynamics. To me, that's not enough. Now, I don't think that they necessarily need the bold bat that I think that the Mets do.
Right.
But they need another bat. You can't rely on four kids and Grisham and hope it works out.
Bingo, I agree with that as well. BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Ryan is calling from Scotch Plains. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, how you doing, BT and Sal?
What's up, Ryan?
Long time. I wanted to bring up quickly, just to jump back to some of the Clark Schmidt conversation here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm cool. I was listening to you guys earlier on in the show, and maybe this is more of a hot take, but I feel like in order for Schmidt to go out in the eighth there, you got to have a more efficient first inning,
yes.
Right? And so, I mean, I feel like rather than, you know, hating on Boone a little bit for the decision, which ultimately I think was right to protect his longevity throughout the season, you know, some of these guys got to be a little bit more efficient when they start the game. I mean, I forgot what the pitch count was.
That's 27.
27, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, if he's finding the zone just a little bit quicker in the start of these games,
mm-hmm.
I wonder if maybe he can push into the eighth. Then maybe now we're talking about letting him go for that no-hitter. But, I mean, if you're starting the game out like that, and I don't know if there's a real answer to this, I feel like he, as amazing as Schmidt was in that game, he was brilliant. I feel like you got to account for some of that stuff. Some of that accountability is on him.
I think that's a good point. Listen, I really like Clark Schmidt. Clark Schmidt would have been an all-star last year if he didn't get hurt.
Yeah, loved him last year.
I loved him. I'm not just jumping on the Clark Schmidt train now. I am a big fan. I think he's a bulldog type. You know, they always talk about on the broadcast how he never wants to come out of games, although he understood what happened this time around. But he wants to keep the ball and he wants to fight. I think his repertoire is really good, but the guy's been injured 2 years in a row. And he's 29 years old. He doesn't have this incredible, you know, resume of past success where he's gone 212 in terms of innings. You know, 199, 227. Like, you got to hold his hand a little bit here. As much as we don't want to think about it, and as much as we oppose the direction of baseball, I don't know, the last 15, 20 years with pitch counts, it's a real thing, and it's not changing.
I mean, come on, the idea, I'd love to have the conversation and have a debate. I wish we could have a legitimate one. There is no legitimate debate as far as Boone's decision goes. You can't do it. You cannot leave him out there. I wanted to see him go for the no-hitter. We all wanted to see that. It would have been special for the Yankee fans in attendance, everybody watching at home. No-hitters are so special that we talked about one that was thrown into the seventh inning. Like, we know how special that they are. There's no way you could justify, in this exact situation, Boone rolling Clark Schmidt out there for the eighth inning even,
yep.
Let alone the eighth and ninth inning. But there is no other argument to be made.
Well, the only argument is if it's a superficial one, and you want to put a little more emphasis on, you know, being part of history.
Yeah, I like that, but that's...
We both do, you and I. So for us to say this, you know that it's really foolish to think that he was going to go the game.
But with this pitcher in this spot, he's coming off injuries, young pitcher. Like, if this were Corey Kluber, and he's at the end of the road, and then maybe he says, look, Skip, I'm going.
Yeah, or Sean Chacone back in the day when they had him, or even Dwight Gooden. When Dwight
there you go.
I mean, Dwight was on his last wheels, so... You know, you had no, and it was different in the mid-90s as well, but you had no worries about compromising your World Series run. If Clark Schmidt gets hurt, that's a problem. That, you know, because until Luis Gil is back on the mound looking like Luis Gil from a year ago, you know, you got to make sure that you have now stay healthy.
There's no other side to the conversation. Johan was a difficult decision for Terry Collins. I know it still eats him up a little, but Johan didn't want to come out of the game. And remember, Johan, a veteran, Mets had never thrown a no-hitter before in their history.
Yep.
From a fan's, the argument is against baseball. The sport has gotten to a point where they don't.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
They don't prioritize the in that day, in that game moment. It happens all the time. Not just no-hitters. Could be complete game shutout, or just prioritizing even getting the win in that game. It's always on the next rotation, next turn of the rotation, or the future, or October. It's always about this, going back to Steven Strasburg. The Nationals wouldn't let him pitch in a postseason.
Yes, trying that's to
win
true.
That's a postseason winning World Series. No, we're going to protect our young asset rather than try to go win a World Series.
See, that's where my line of delineation I would just take it and throw it out the window. Like, that was Rizzo, the GM.
Yes.
I remember that was a big problem. And I'm like, man, if that was one of our teams, I'm like, what are you doing?
And but he always got hurt anyway.
I know he did.
Afterward. Like, you couldn't protect him.
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned the Johan stuff, because if that was kind of the beginning. That is a reference point of, well, did they tax him out there? I'm not saying it's entirely based on him stretching things out, however many pitches he threw that night.
134. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was like mid-120s.
Oh, dude, or
130.
It was.
That is irresponsible. That wasn't 1985. That's irresponsible. So there's some evidence there. But the other thing, too, we had a great conversation with Oral Hershiser. How great was that, by the way?
Great.
That was an awesome. Yeah,
he was great.
He was phenomenal. You got to check it out. Free Odyssey app, YouTube. It's out there. BT and Sal, WFAN, right? And one of the things that I asked him, I said, Oral, the pitch count, I said, these guys don't have the ability to regenerate, walk around the mound, take off their cap, grab the rosin, kick their... Because right. They've got to throw a pitch. Otherwise, they're penalized. So when you throw a 27 first pitch inning, and it's pitch, 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 there's no way you're going out after 103 pitches. It's lunacy.
How many no-hitters, because the call was like, oh, you know, Clark Schmidt could be better in the first inning. Yeah, I mean, I guess, but he threw 7 no-hit innings, so hard to knock him.
Yep.
How many no-hitters, and I don't know if Hop has them all, but I asked him to pull up these numbers,
okay,
and I have no idea what they are.
Good.
But just off the top of your head, how many no-hitters do you think were thrown under 100 pitches?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
I'm gonna try to work myself there. Not as many as people might think. Because primarily no hitters come from power pitchers. Primarily,
maybe a lot of walks in there.
Well, that's Nolan, what I'm saying. Nolan Ryan, yeah. A lot of strikeouts, right. Some walks.
That's what I'm saying. So
I would say 10%. I would say most are over 100.
I have
for
no
sure.
idea. Hoff, give me. You have numbers here on these?
I have since I think it's David Cone's no hitter, which was back in '99.
Right. So you're talking about 25 year sample.
Yeah, okay. That should be interesting.
I have eight.
Eight what?
Under 100.
Under 100.
How many over?
He had 88 pitches that day, by the way.
And that was a perfect game, not a no-hitter.
67 minus 8 is what, 59 no-hitters?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 59.
And this is just for single pitchers, just individuals going nine full innings,
yeah.
Not like the combined
committees,
no-hitters.
Committees, like the Astros back in the day against the Yankees and some others.
Honestly, it's not a lot, but it's more than I probably thought would be the case.
I don't think that's a lot at all. Eight out of 15, out of 67?
I was thinking maybe you have two or three.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean? You're right. It's not a lot, but I didn't think you're a no-hitter, you're going nine innings. A lot of the time, well, obviously you're going to have walks in there because it's not.
Otherwise,
so that
it's
includes.
A perfect game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, which we refer to as a perfect game, not a no-hitter.
Yeah.
So perfect game makes sense having that under 100 pitches. Yeah, because you're dealing, you're not allowing a hit
no
or
deep
any
counts
walks.
Or no walks.
Yeah. Ahead,
you're talking.
No extra pitches with an error where that could happen as well. Go ahead.
Sure. You're talking a sweet spot. I see a lot of 114s.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Okay. Right. So that's the point. So it's not about his 27 really first pitch inning. You know, he could have gone back out there for an eighth or ninth inning and been around probably what the average was, maybe a little bit higher than the, what was he? He ended up at 106, right?
I thought it was 103.
Okay. I thought 102, and then somebody, I don't know if I read it or somebody
I thought
said
it was 103.
Okay, whatever. Either way, okay, so what? 120? Could that have gotten it done? But 120, today's day and age, it's just not going to happen. So I don't think it's about Clark Schmidt's inefficiency. I think it's more about just pitchers aren't going to be allowed to throw 115 pitches.
Yeah, but I agree with that. We're on the same page. But I also think that there's, you know, a what's the word? There's an acceptable amount of pitches, and I'm talking about the same. Right. Let's pick the number 120 or even 115.
Would you have been okay with him going
120 is pushing things,
that's
man.
What I'm saying.
Honestly, no, I wouldn't have
so
been.
So where's the fine line?
Well, like, I'm saying, let's say 115. Like, not all 115 pitch outings are the same.
Right.
Like, if you have a first inning where you throw 27 pitches and then you back it up and you go to nine and suddenly you have 36 over two, which obviously equals about 18 per, that is different than literally coming out in the first inning and throwing 18 in the second, coming out and throwing 18, even though it equates to 36, the 27 ends any chance. And Oral says it, others have said, David Cone says it. Like, once you get past the threshold, I think Coney said it the other night, but not with the Clark Schmidt stuff. Like, you're in that neighborhood of, like, 17 pitches in it. Like, that's the, like, you want to be below 17. You get above that, now it's like, all right, it's going to compromise an inning or a batter or even more down the road at the back end of the game. So I mean, it is what it is.
It's not like you have five or six walks. You had two walks, like, that's not a lot.
He's got filthy stuff, man. Yeah. And he's got a good demeanor, too.
Yeah,
he's
like
a winner.
His attitude.
The meat of the order for the Yankees yesterday. And the Yankees did have nine hits, and they win the game. Ben Rice in the three-hole, and he rewards Boone with three hits and a run. Jazz Chisholm, who has played well, what's in a three? I want to say 350, 355 in 17 games since coming back. So he had the big double off the wall on a 3-0 swing. 2-for-4, couple of ribbies. And a run, and that is what the meat of the order did for the Yanks yesterday. When you're looking for the meat for your order, choose Boar's Head, committed to craft since 1905.
All right, the NBA Finals finished up last night, Game 7. Did you watch any of it? Did you get into that at all?
I did. I watched it. To say that I got into it is a big stretch.
I didn't watch a second of it.
Not one second.
Not a second.
Not the whole series or last night?
Last night, not a second of it.
Yeah.
Just don't care.
I get you, man.
Yeah, I read about Halliburton going down. All right, so what'd you think?
I mean, I wasn't moved by it. I really wasn't moved by the coverage. I wasn't moved by the storylines. I do love Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Yeah. I got a lot of respect for him. I love Carlisle. Wanted to see the Pacers lose. Glad they did. Don't want to see Halliburton get hurt. I don't want to throw that karma out there, but it is interesting the way it started with the choke and the way it ended. But I just think that the NBA Finals, to me, Sal, doesn't feel big anymore.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just because of the two teams in it. Now, I love the fact that SGA won the scoring title, regular season MVP, finals MVP, championship. Like, that to me is culminating the perfect season. But I just couldn't get into it. I never care, other than the fact that I wanted the Pacers to lose, and they did. So I was happy about it. And the number one, I have two things here on the finals. Number one thing that I wanted to touch on, you touched on this with the Halliburton injury. Obviously, we don't root for injury. Like, that's a horrible thing. Personally, you feel bad for Halliburton, who, you know, had to come out of Game 7 in the finals, who's going to have to go through the rigorous, you know, build back up and rehab.
He's going to miss all next year. He's out the whole year.
That's what I'm saying.
He's done next year.
But I feel like a lot of the fans, and I've seen this on social media, I've heard it on the airwaves, it's like, oh, Halliburton, I feel so bad for him. Like, I feel like it's being overdone. Where my feeling toward him is not that I'm happy that it happened, but hey, that's sports. Like, that's life. Was there this outcry or pouring in of, oh, how heartbreaking for Tatum? Maybe by some. It certainly wasn't by the Knicks fans. Now, I felt more bad for Tatum just in that moment. I don't know if it's because he's a better player or because he didn't taunt the Knicks the way that Halliburton has, but my just heart, you know, feeling on it was, man, that sucks for Tatum, a great player in the sport. I really wanted to beat this Celtics team with everything intact. With Halliburton, you know, obviously it has nothing to do with the Knicks facing them at this point. And you feel bad for any individual who suffers an injury like that. Sure, and it was tough to watch with it popping, but like, come on. Nick Halliburton is a rival of the Knicks. Like, the over-the-top nature to it, to me, has become almost too much to take.
Yeah, I mean, I feel badly for the guy. I definitely do. I think any journey that's cut short, like, we just can't relate to what they put in physically. We just can't. You know, we think we can. We could try in certain aspects. Maybe we can on occasion. But, I mean, this is their life's work here. And when you're on the precipice of a championship, to have your Achilles roll up your entire leg sucks. But I think what's more interesting or to me, just the rash of Achilles injuries.
Yeah, there's been a lot of them. All right, but that's my point.
So many of them.
So I know it's Game 7, but, like, have we had the same, like, oh, like, it goes without saying. Now, I know some fans, like, you know, wish that stuff, which is horrible. They wish death upon athletes who don't get jobs done or taunt their team. But for all those other Achilles injuries, was it all the same outcry and outpouring of support? Like, I feel like it's just being, especially from the New York side of things, it's being overdone because the true deep down feeling from the Knicks fan is one that's happy that the Pacers didn't win the title.
Yeah.
Not that he got hurt, but happy that they didn't. That's
thank God they didn't win. Right? I mean, see Reggie slinking off that court last night in the tunnel wearing, by the way, he was rocking a pretty good jersey. Do you see the jersey that Reggie was wearing?
I did, remind me. I forget.
Mullen.
Yeah, he did have
He was
Mullen
wearing number 17
He's
for
been
Chris.
Wearing a bunch of different ones, because someone wearing a 13 earlier, maybe that was Mark Jackson.
Okay, I think he had Travis Best at one point, and always boys with him. But that was nice to see Reggie slink off and not be able to revel in the championship. And I didn't care about him being in the booth as much as you did. You kind of fired that flare.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
And I thought that he would be able to strike a better balance, and he did for most of the series, but then at one point he's like basically pointed to Halliburton from the booth, and that really bothered me. You know, I think that the NBA has a serious issue. I mean, I just think each year I feel like the NBA becomes a little less relevant, and I am a basketball junkie. You know that about your partner, but even some of the topics that you know, some of these debate driven shows to focus on, like, it's still about Kevin Durant. He's 37. It's still about LeBron. You know, like, there has not been a reset in the NBA. It's hanging on to the old stuff because, quite frankly, the new stuff, it's not good enough to carry the mail.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it is just these two teams. But again, you had the MVP winning the NBA title, and it wasn't good enough for most people in the ratings say that as well. The other thing, BT, before we get back to the calls that caught my attention from last night, did you see T.J. McConnell crying in his mom's arms afterward?
You're not going to knock this, are you? Come on. Don't knock this. You're the biggest mama's boys I know.
Yes, but
come on. Start knocking this.
I am a big mama's boy. You're in the NBA. You're crying. You're crying like you lost a Little League championship.
You see,
now,
my man.
He can do whatever he wants, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed seeing that little pain in the rear end T.J. McConnell come up short. And the Pacers, who were talking a lot of trash. A lot of trash from the Indiana Pacers, who, by the way, have never won an NBA title in their existence. ABA, whatever.
Oh, yeah. Never.
Never won an NBA title. Talking a lot of trash. Yeah. Indiana versus New York, this or that, McConnell, all that stuff. Giving glares at Celebrity Row. At the end, he was weeping in his mother. Now, this is not me. This is just, I'm giving you the facts. In the end, T.J. McConnell was weeping in his mother's arms.
Dude, I don't think I've ever seen a player that distraught after a game.
Jordan, I remember laying on the floor crying, but his father just died, and it wasn't crying because he lost.
Yeah, and he was in the locker room clutching the trophy, and it was, it was a different set of, and I'm not knocking, but like, I think, like, if he didn't have that kind of heart, he wouldn't be in the NBA.
Yeah.
That's kind of fueled him to probably get beyond where his athletic traits probably say he should be. Not to stereotype him, but he's not jumping over, he's not going around. Like, he's just, he's here because he's worked his ass off, and he's got great heart and great character. But by the time he walked off the court, the whole tunnel crying in Reggie's arms, even before he got to his
mom, I know.
I mean, it was just a procession of tears. And, you know, I'm not knocking it. I'm not. But I am saying that it is unique. I don't know that I've ever seen that in pro sports. Sal's knocking it.
Come on. That was a rough. No, teams their own.
Yeah.
He's a terrific player. Pain in the rear end.
Yeah.
But I'm not knocking it. I'm saying I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed McConnell's. You think Jalen Brunson's going to be crying in his mother's arms if he lost in the NBA Finals like that?
I don't even know if he's going to be crying in his dad's arms. I don't know if his dad's going to be back next season. Can we get some resolution on the Knicks situation at some point before the 4th of July barbecue?
Cat may be a different story. I don't think Brunson's going to be crying in his mom's arms after.
Hey, serious note, though. I hear you on that. Serious note, though, real quick about basketball, like with the Durant trade, right?
Mm-hmm.
Specific to the Knicks. So finals are over. We move on. Okay, who cares? Although I would have loved to have seen the Knicks against the Thunder. Maybe they weren't quite as unapproachable as maybe we thought. Like, oh, the Thunder will beat them in four. We never got the chance, whatever. But Durant gets traded, and not even to have a real deep conversation about whether or not he should be a Knick or not. But the fact that the Knicks don't have a coach, this is why I said I want a coach soon. Because there's discussions and there's things happening around the NBA. I know they don't have the third overall pick. I understand that, but you're telling me if there was like if it's Mike Brown or Jenkins or some like an offensive guy that a functional, well-running organization, and let's hope that they're still that, it doesn't confer with their coach on some level. Hey, what do you think? How can we make this work with KD? Should we make this trade? I'm not saying you ask for permission, but at least you have a conversation.
Yeah, I feel like the organization and Leon Rose made their decision on KD. Remember when Bondi had the report a week ago saying that the Knicks were not interested? I think it was Bondi who said that.
What was my response?
Yeah, you don't want him either.
But was it Dolan or was it the Knicks?
Right, I see you're saying. Yeah,
I don't know the answer to that, but decisions are being made, and the Knicks got to reshape for next year. I'm just saying, get your coach already.
Well, I don't know why it's taking so long.
Well, that's my point.
The only thing that would make sense, they're waiting for Jason Kidd somehow to shake loose.
Or the other thing that makes more sense to me is that this was a knee-jerk reaction, and they didn't have a plan, and they weren't prepared. So now they're kind of figuring things out on the fly. That's what I honestly believe.
I believe that it's going to be Jason Kidd. I'm going back to that. There was a thought last week that it was Jenkins. I'm going back to it's going to be Jason Kidd. That's the only thing that would make sense. It was then, especially after we were getting denied for everybody, I believe that it's Jason Kidd, and they believe they're going to be able to land him. Then you saw this assistant going.
Yes.
He went to the Spurs, so maybe that's going to be another way for Kidd to get out. Either way, until Kidd signs an extension with the Mavericks, I'm going to believe he is going to be the next head coach of the Knicks.
I'm less rooted in that conviction. I also don't really know if I really want him. Let's a week from now, the Knicks, Jason Kidd, come on up here, Jason, new head coach of the Knicks introduced. I'm not going to be pumped.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to be downtrodden. I know he's a good coach. Is he great? Like, I don't think that there's anything. This is the hard spot that I live in. I firmly believe that they had to move on from Tom Thibodeau, but I don't think anybody that they can hire is going to make me feel amazing about the hire.
Yeah, I know.
It's weird.
That's why I didn't like the idea of moving on from Tibbs. Tony's calling from Deer Park. What's up, Tony?
I got to say, seeing McConnell crying was awesome. I loved it. It's probably the only part of the finals I watched. But you don't cry when you lose. You cry when you win.
Right.
Come on. Give me a Caleb Williams. I still think him crying in his mother's arms in the stands. I'm so glad that guy's not my quarterback for the Giants.
Now,
I don't know.
The only difference there would be I wouldn't be getting on a college kid if this were the case.
Yeah.
T.J. McConnell's been a pro for a long time.
7-8 years, something like that.
And by the way, I'm not saying you can't get emotional. I'm an emotional person. I'm a mama's boy. That's not the issue. That's a tough look.
Yeah.
You're in the NBA making millions of dollars. You've been a pro for a while. And after the game, it was like Little League-esque when you're walking over to your mom to be consoled. She's waving the cameras at her.
The cameras. Like, Mama Bear saying, get lost, otherwise Mama Bear's going to start biting.
I wouldn't want my mom. There's much as well. I wouldn't want that.
My mom ran on the field once.
How old were you?
Older than I wanted to be when my mom ran off the field. I'll tell you that much. Never lives the worst. Oh, yeah. God.
Imagine it being on film forever.
Oh, jeez. Thank NBA God that's finals? Not. No. Oh, man.
Come on.
That was a rough spot. No, I just, I get it. Listen, he's also, if it wasn't McConnell and he wasn't like a pain in our ass and a little gnat, you know, that just buzzes around and kind of annoys you. Like, if it was somebody else, would we have the same reaction? I mean, I'm not saying we wouldn't.
100%. 100%. It wouldn't even register if it weren't McConnell or if Halliburton did that. McConnell, remember, he's the guy that was talking trash, giving looks.
I know. Pointing to a celebrity role.
Yeah, you can't be doing that and then cry when you lose. Like, that doesn't add up. Yeah. All right, BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019. Mom, that was a bad segment. Can you please come in here and hold me, please? I was getting texts about Braveheart. Have you seen that?
Now I got to take the L.
You haven't seen Braveheart?
I should not.
Hoff, have you?
Yeah, once in high school.
Whoa. Now you guys are... I understand and respect the greatness of Die Hard and some of those other ones. Braveheart. I'm shocked you haven't seen it.
Everybody that says that is their exact response.
It is...
I know.
A great... Great, great movie.
I've seen more memes of Braveheart than I've seen actual movie of Braveheart. I don't know how that would escape. I have no idea. I know.
And I'm shocked at you, who try to, you know, knock me and put me on suspension because I didn't watch all the diehards. It kill me.
Yes.
But you haven't still there. You haven't even seen Braveheart?
No, I did. I saw it in high school.
And
legitimately, like, we watched it in high school rather than, like, you know, do homework.
But it sounds to me like you didn't see it because you're not like, oh, that was a great movie.
Yeah, it didn't click as well as some other movies.
Wow.
Dude,
come on. That's a different
level
movie.
It's like the Lord of the Rings for action movies.
No, not at all. And by the way, Lord of the Rings, whatever. I don't even remember if I've seen
it. I can't stand that stuff.
Star Wars, yes. Harry Potter, yes.
No.
Lord of the Rings. You don't get Harry Potter? Ugh. Those are great movies.
Ugh.
Hoff, you not on interested. Harry Potter?
No.
Wow.
I saw the books, too.
I know. What are you, crazy?
I not really saw the movie. Hunger I'm pretty Games. Enthused about the movie.
Hunger Games was great.
Hunger Games, great. Yeah, I read, but I'm still talking about read the books. I read, I think, 2.5. I couldn't get through the third one. But the movies are great. Books were even better from what I read from it.
Mm-hmm.
But, dude, Braveheart. Yeah,
that's a rough one. That's a bad look for us, Hoff, honestly.
Oh, forget him. He saw it. He didn't like it.
Yeah, I'm just not into the war stuff. Like, to me, they're just a little bit flat. That's what it's about.
No, it's more than that, man.
Him running around in a skirt all day?
It's like a rising up of civilization, right? Pretty much.
It's him just being a beast beyond comprehension. Anyway, all right, got to have that on the list. The other thing that I was going to say is we were out there at Fanatics Fest, right? And it was great to meet everybody, take pictures and sign stuff, whatever. There was only one person that I denied signing something for. And I ended up signing something for him, but like I'm assuming you didn't deny anybody, right? Anybody asked for a pic or an autograph?
No, I mean, like when you say deny, I literally say, I said
I will not sign that.
Oh, you will not sign that?
But I signed something else for him and told him why.
Yeah, I didn't say I signed anything. I mean, I'm not going to...
Take a guess what it is, Hoff. Yeah.
It's you as Doink the Clown.
No. That has nothing to do with me.
We would have signed that. He would have signed. He would have had fun with that. It's got to be some sort of Yankee Met thing. No.
It has nothing to do with me personally.
Mike Francesa picture.
No. All right, I'll just tell you because you guys are horrible.
Well, I mean, it's also a pretty broad landscape to guess on.
No, understood. But
I figured we'd start with sports since it's a sports show.
There is a tie in here.
Okay.
A Mets jersey. A Lindor. It wasn't even a blank jersey. It was a Mets Lindor jersey. And it's Sal, would you sign us? I'm like, dude, you don't want me ruining that jersey. I am not signing that. And ruining your Lindor job. I'll sign this picture. I'll sign whatever else you want. I don't want to do it. He's like, oh, no. And then I think he just wanted me to sign something. So I refused to sign the jersey because I knew that my marking on that jersey is going to ruin that thing. Like, I love that you support us, whatever. I'll sign whatever else you want. I'm not signing a Francisco Lindor jersey.
Weak.
Right?
Weak.
On me or?
You.
Are you serious?
Yeah, you overthought it. Weak.
Dude, the reason why I bring this up is Loogie.
Uh-huh.
Was seen signing a Mets jersey for somebody. Why would you do that?
I'm going to tell you why. So, in the moment, it probably... I know what you mean. Like, why devalue... It's very humble. Like, why devalue
it? I'm not signing a Francisco Lindor jersey. There's no point.
Guy's probably a massive fan of the... How old?
About... teens, I'd say.
Oh, young.
14-ish. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay. You didn't tell me that. That's different. That's different.
So I'm trying to show him the
I think now I'm going to take back what I said, retract that, and say that you did the right thing.
Okay.
If it was like a 40 or a 50-year-old man or
and
a woman.
He knew what it was getting.
Well, because then I'm like, all right, they've been connected with WFAN forever. Maybe he's got a man cave. That would be like, imagine, you know, you going to a fan fest and with a Al Leiter jersey, whatever, any jersey you wanted, Hubie Brooks, I don't know, Gary Carter, and asking Schmooze or Joe or anybody from that era, not, Mike and Chris is too obvious, and used and them saying no, like maybe that would have been very meaningful for you to have, like,
or
especially when it was the home of the Mets.
If he had, let's say, somebody else on there, if somebody else signed it, then yeah, no problem. Mm-hmm. It was. I just think he just wanted to, like, either take a pic and hang out and get something signed.
I don't know. He was 14.
And didn't have anything better.
Good instincts right there.
You know what I'm saying?
Because when you're 14, you're a little overwhelmed. You don't communicate. You're not thinking clearly. But by the way, Sal, not everybody is in the business of turning jerseys into money.
I get
it. So maybe he just wants to rock it to watch the Mets at Citi Field and, you know, SNY, Mets, connection, Sal's there.
I get it.
You know, I mean,
maybe he just likes you for some reason. I asked him five times. I'm like, you sure? Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I'm like, you sure? He's like, yeah. And I was like, how about I'll give you a sign a card instead. And then I just said, yeah. So obviously, I'm not in the business of turning anybody down. I would never do that. I'll go to your house before I would sign that.
He'll invite himself over. Yeah, hey, can I sign something for you?
I was trying to do him a favor.
I think you did the right. I think that's a good, noble gesture. Now I see why you did it.
Especially after Loogie just going there, signing like Mets jerseys, like, I don't know, dude. We shouldn't be signing if it were a blank jersey, different story. A specific Mets jersey.
Well, I also would not start creating rules by saying what we should do.
Yeah, I'll do whatever. Anybody
well, no,
wants.
I'm saying, like, think about this. Like, so that's something you're gonna live by. That's a guideline. But Loogie shouldn't be beholden to it.
He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, exactly. You're saying we.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think he made a mistake by doing
you
that.
You do.
I wouldn't ruin somebody's jersey. Loogie, ruin that guy's jersey writing his name on it. Sign a card for him. Sign something else for him.
Positive Tommy. He's tweets now. They're coming a little hollow after this losing streak.
Have you ever signed like a Tiki Barber jersey or a Boomer jersey?
Have I or would I?
Anybody ask you for that?
No. No, I don't think so along the way.
It's not out of the realm of possibility. We work at the station.
Yeah, I got you.
When you feel weird signing somebody else's jersey?
I think, unless it was like something that was like, you know, going to make me look bad or my family look bad. I don't think I would give it that much thought. Again, since the kid was 14, good job. But like, if somebody sticks something in front of me and it's like not like X-rated or something that's going to just look bad on us, I'll sign it.
Yeah, X-rated. Yeah, I mean, I'll sign that before I ruin you. I don't want to ruin your Met jersey. All right, BT and Sal of the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. By the way, Hurley is checking in, Big Hurls.
I heard my phone going off. Yep. What's he saying?
He's getting on you for the...
Get on me?
For Braveheart. Yeah, how can you not watch Braveheart?
Well, what about all those shows you didn't see? He didn't get on you. Wait, was he not listening?
Maybe. I mean, I don't know.
Selective listening down the hallway there, Big Hurls, huh?
I didn't see Die Hard 2, 3,
hey,
4.
I admit it. I take the L, but I don't know how I should get crushed.
But, by the way, did Braveheart win Best Pick? We're talking about like Best Pig, not just like some dude movie that you guys are talking about with Die Hard. Anyway, Bill is calling from Iceland. What's up, Bill?
Hey, how are you?
How are you?
So I'm watching the Met game with my son last night, and Peterson's pitching to Schwarber, and he gets the ball, the throwback from the catcher, and he steps off the mound, and he kind of stretches out his leg and his hip a little bit.
His hip, yeah, they were my talking son, about that, yep.
Okay, my son jumped on it right away, and he said he's hurt, he's got to come out. Next pitch, home run, and then he was getting drilled after that.
Uh-huh.
So we're both thinking that Peterson's hurt and he's going to miss a turn at least.
Well, geez, I mean, if that now everything's falling wrong for the Mets, I don't think so. I know Mendoza was asked about that in the post game, and the way he just brushed it aside and dismissed it like immediately, he's like, "Nah, he's good, he's fine." Next, like there wasn't even a follow up, so I wouldn't place a whole lot of emphasis on it. Now they did mention it. I don't think it's a huge deal, but you know, they were in a little bit of a bad luck rut. So
yeah,
hoping there's not more bad news coming.
I don't know if he's hurt or not. I would not use that as an excuse last night. And if he is, we'll find out whether it's today, tomorrow, whatever it may be. That can happen. Mets will need him. By the way, Braveheart did win Best Pick. We're talking about Best Pick
95.
Yeah.
Okay.
Talking about, which is crazy to think, you know, 30 years ago now. I can't believe that movie's 30 years old. I'm due for a rewatch. I have not seen it.
It also won Best Sound Effects Editing.
Really?
Man, who cares about that? Oh. What did Die Hard win? All right, BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-8.
And I actually answered like I'm intrigued. Who cares, dude?
Really?
Why? I know. I don't know why that struck me as interesting. It was anything but.
Really? All right.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
They're already stars, but now you can make them all stars. Vote in the 2025 Pro Spirit MLB All-Star Ballot 5 times daily. Show your favorite players just how much you want to see them play in Atlanta. And new this year, download and visit the MLB Pro Spirit game during Phase 1, and you can secure an additional vote per day for your favorite players. Submit your ballot today at MLB.com/vote and add some shine to summer. Voting ends June 26th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. MLB trademarks used with permission.